Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the veracity of your word, for the truthfulness of it. We thank you, Lord, that it touches our hearts. We know that, Lord, the Holy Spirit gave this word, and we know that the Holy Spirit says amen to it in our hearts. And as we bow here before you today, we humbly pray that you would speak to our hearts and give us a greater appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we may know and understand him better. And Father, we ask you to bless every family represented here today. And we also pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon every life, because a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. And Father, we pray for that anointing also upon the speaker. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to share something with you, going on from what I said last week, that we need to learn more about Jesus. We need to understand him. We have to have more of a focus on the Lord. And you know, I was thinking that there's not enough focus on Christ these days. If you stop and think about it, we don't really preach Christ that much. I was thinking about what has happened to the church in New Zealand. I can't speak for other countries, but in the last 50 years, for example, 50 years ago in this country, there would be a gospel meeting every Sunday night in every Baptist church, Brethren Assembly, Independent Church, Salvation Army, some Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, even some Anglican churches would have a gospel meeting on a Sunday night. Every church had a midweek prayer meeting. And the word of God was preached, and salvation through Christ was preached. And then a terrible thing happened. What happened, and now we can look back and see the fruits of what happened. We can look back now and see whether it worked or not. What happened basically was this. New doctrines and new ideas about the Holy Spirit began to come into the church. And things that had never been said in the church, at least until the turn of the 20th century, never said in the church anywhere for nearly 2,000 years, began to surface. And the church began to receive these things, and people would talk about them and argue about them. And in a simple sentence, the focus went off Jesus Christ, onto the Holy Spirit. The focus went off Jesus. He had said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will not speak of himself, but he will take of the things of mine and will show them unto you. When he's come, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And even the conviction of sin went down. Certainly the conviction of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it all went down over these years. And now the fruit is, we've almost lost Jesus. And of course, you know, I'm generalizing, there are some really good churches, not many. Most of God's people are not focused on the Lord. They are focused on themselves. They are focused on their experience. They are focused on what they want, of what they think. You stop and think about it. You say to somebody today, would you do something? They say, well, I'll see how I feel. And most of God's people, not all, but most, go by their feelings. They come if they feel like it. They'll do it if it feels right. So our focus has gone off the Lord onto ourselves. Once upon a time we did a thing because it was right, whether we felt like it or not. This is why the quiet time and prayer and the reading of the Word of God has gone down, because people don't feel like it. Or they're too busy for God, too busy to do these things. Now I'm making the assertion that the Church of Jesus Christ, in the Western world at least, has mainly lost its focus of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are focused on our experience. I can demonstrate it to you, for example. You see how worship has swept into the church. Now, worship's a great and wonderful thing. But we are faced with a people now that we have educated that will worship God for an hour. They will complain if the preacher speaks for more than 20 minutes to half an hour. And they move the pulpit. They move the pulpit out of the middle of the church, and they put a band there or something else. Now, I'm not saying not to have those things, and I'm not saying that if you want to worship God for an hour, do it. But don't minimize on the Word of God. Don't push the Word of God back as if it doesn't matter. Most of God's people today do not know what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. They don't understand Him. They don't see Him the way He's portrayed in the Bible. They don't have the understanding and the deep knowledge of the holy, holy God of heaven. And this is why we're in so much trouble. And this is why multitudes are perishing in the valley of decision. This is why people have to say, summer is ended and the harvest is past and we are not saved. Where is the church that has a focus on the lost? The Holy Ghost has a focus on the lost. Jesus died for the lost. He said, you preach the gospel to every creature. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? You may say, well, this is a strange introduction to this message. I don't think so. It makes it more necessary. More necessary. Jesus came to his disciples here in the 16th of Matthew, and it was a simple thing that he said to them. He said, who do people say that I am? He wasn't asking who he was. He knew who he was. He said, who are people saying that I am? What do they say about me? Friends, do you know what the ungodly think about Jesus Christ? Do we know? Do we know what they think? Because if they take their reflection off us, they're going to be in deep trouble. Do they know what Jesus is like? Do they know He's the Savior? Do they know that he died for sin? Do they know that He can take them to heaven? Do they know? Do they know these things, the unsaved? Jesus said, what do the people think of me? And you'll see the answer that they gave. They said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Now they said that, I suppose, because in the last chapter, last few verses of the book of Malachi, it says that before God comes back to his people, Elijah the prophet will come. In another place, when they said this to Jesus, he said, Elias has come already, and he was speaking of John the Baptist was Jesus. But John the Baptist was dead, and they said, well, maybe you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. And another says, you're Elijah. Elijah didn't die, he was taken by a whirlwind into heaven. Maybe you're Elijah. But he's not Elijah. And you're a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and you weep a lot. Maybe you're Jeremiah the prophet, the weeping prophet. Maybe that's who you really are underneath. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice something. Every answer that they gave to the Lord was about a man on this earth. Their sights were not on heaven. Their sights were not above. It was all down. It was all about men. Just all about us. And so the Lord turned to them. And he said to them, what do you think? What do you think? So what he was saying to them was this. You have seen the work that I have done. What do you think of the worker? You have heard my words. What do you think of me? What's in your heart about me? And you and I know that this whole thing that Jesus did that day was to bring the truth out. To bring it out. Not trying to give us a lesson on what these heathenish Jews thought. Not at all. The Lord Jesus could say to them, I have not spoken to you of my divinity. I have not spoken to you of my deity. I have just done these things in front of you. Remember that even when John the Baptist himself sent two of his disciples to the Lord and said, who are you? Are you the one that should come? Jesus did not point to himself. He pointed to his works. He said, the blind have their eyes opened, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the gospel is preached to the poor. But he didn't allude anything to himself. But this is 18 months after the Lord Jesus picked up these disciples. And to me this is a remarkable thing, and I want you to listen to it carefully. Because there's a lesson here for you. He's been with them for 1 year and 6 months, and they yet have to be asked that question. Now I'm not criticizing them. I'm trying to tell you that true spiritual truth takes time to get into the heart. Takes time to get into the heart. You can't be an instant Christian. You can't be like the fly at a birthday party that goes from every bit of cake and all around the place from thing to thing and thing to thing. That's not how you grow in God. That's not how you grow. The songwriter said it takes time to be holy. Who, they say, the Son of Man is? He loved to call himself the Son of Man. He loved to call himself the Son of Man. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was true to the reason he came into the world. He came for us. He came to die the just for the unjust. He came to bring us to God. He's the Son of Man. And he says, well, what do they think of the Son of Man? I was interested to note that not one of these disciples ever called Jesus the Son of Man. But he constantly did. I didn't have time, actually, to check out how many times he called himself the Son of Man in the Gospels. But when Stephen, the first martyr, when he was stoned to death, he said, I see heaven open, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What a wonderful thing. You see how close and how wonderful the scriptures are? You know, you might be only a little person today, and you may think that you're quite insignificant, but you could be a cog in God's wheel. You could be somebody that holds something together. Without you, it won't work. Without you, it won't be good. And you are important. Don't you make any mistake about it. I marvel when I read and study the Word of God. I marvel because I see how intricate God is. How simple God is. Just how simple. How would you feel about Jesus if all the rich men and the mighty men and the great men came at his birth and gave homage to him like the kings from the east? How would you feel? You'd feel kind of left out, wouldn't you? But he sent shepherds who watched their flocks by night. The angel spoke to them and said, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." All the others saw him just as a man. They couldn't get their eyes to heaven. Dear friends, make sure in your relationships with God that you get your eyes to heaven. Don't keep looking at yourself all the time. Don't keep looking at your problem. Don't keep talking about what's happening to you. Get your eyes on heaven. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. I'm saying I'm longing to be associated with Christians that have a plan with God. A plan. A plan to walk with God. A plan to serve God. Not a plan to have meetings. A plan to be holy. A plan to know the living God. I know I have been apologizing to the Lord for my lack of love for Jesus, because I realize so much circumstance, so many people, so many things, they can get your eyes off the Lord. They get mine off. So Peter speaks. Peter comes forward as he often does, and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let me repeat it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, friends, Peter would live to preach at Pentecost. Peter would live to write 2 epistles. But Peter never said greater words than he said this day. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the full sum total of God's revelation of his Son to us. This is the whole. You know that if you don't believe this, you can't be saved. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can't be saved. This is a very important point that this man made this day. God spoke to him, didn't he? Gee, before we look at the words, remember what Jesus said? "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I would say that Peter even surprised himself at his words. They just came into his heart and he said them. Sometimes in our lives God speaks in us and through us in a way which is totally unexpected to us. And this is what happened to Peter, I'm quite sure. Often you might find yourself saying something beyond yourself. I was thinking this morning of that little friend of mine, Helena. She was 8 years old. And she came to my house to have a talk with me about God. And she sat down in one of those big red chairs, and I sat in the other one. And we began to talk about the character of God. And then I asked her a question. I said, "Helena, where did the Word of God come from? Where did it come from?" And she sat there for a minute, sort of hung her head a little, or put her head down, put her hand up by her mouth like somebody does when they're thinking, And then she looked at me with a shining face. And she said, it came from the heart of God. And you know, friends, let me tell you something. In all my library, with all the things that are said about the Bible, nobody ever said that. But she did. How did it get into her heart? It came from the heart of God. This is a similar thing, you understand me. God revealed it to her. God spoke to her heart. God spoke to Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. When I tried to study this, I had a great problem. I went to check with some of the church fathers, the leaders, the people whose writings I'm careful about. And most of them said hardly anything about this verse. I was astonished. It just seems to me like this verse has been overlooked by the church. It's been overlooked. There's a lot of talk about your name is Peter, on this I will build my church, and I'll give you the keys of heaven, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, there's a lot about that, but hardly anything about this statement. So, you know, in sermon audio, there's 700,000 sermons on that website. And so just before I went to bed last night, I decided to check and see if there's something there. And to my astonishment, there's only 17 sermons on this text. And about three quarters of them are not on this text. 17 out of 700,000. So you can see how neglected this particular text of Scripture is. And I better not neglect it any longer and get on to it. I don't want to dwell on your name is Peter. And on this I will build my church, because I'm one of those people who simply believe this, that what Jesus meant that day was that the statement that you have made, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, on that statement I'll build my church. Because that is the truth. That is. And some people would say they wouldn't agree with me on that point. Then I would say to them, well, there's not much of a builder. Because a short time later, Jesus had to turn and call him Satan. And he had to rebuke him. Because he didn't even have the plan in his heart. He didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. He said to Jesus, be it far from you, Lord. And in the Greek it actually says, pity yourself. Pity yourself, Lord. Don't go to the cross. The statement, we will stand by. Peter is difficult. Peter's difficult. I won't criticize him. But there are many things. This was not a controversy, actually, until the Roman Catholic Church made it a controversy centuries later, after Jesus said it. And they called him their first pope, funny pope, because he had a wife. Jesus went and healed Peter's wife's mother. Remember that. Another thing I reminded of concerning Peter, that he had to be rescued. Where did this statement come from? It came from the inner voice. It came from God speaking to his heart. Now, listen to me. It would take Peter a long time to understand the depth of the words that he uttered that day. And in your Christian life, you have to grow into the knowledge of himself that God has given you. You have to grow into it. Just because you can quote the scripture doesn't mean you have the verse. You have to grow into it. That's why it says in the Bible, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in your knowledge of Christ. Grow in the things of God. Ask him to help you. I've been praying for three or four things in my personal devotions. I have been praying and asking God to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. I'm asking Him to give me the spirit of holiness, to give me the spirit of repentance. This I have been asking God to give me because this is what I need. We need the revelation of Jesus. Because you can quote His name doesn't mean you know much about Him. Peter would take a long time to get to the point where he would completely understand what these words meant. Who say men that I am? I say to you that if the church of Jesus Christ does not know who Jesus Christ is, what hope does the world have? No wonder we are so weak. No wonder people are going to a Christless, undone eternity. No wonder people are dying without Christ. He said, "Thou art the Christ." Let me talk about that. That word Christ means anointed. In the New Testament scriptures, just the New Testament, that Christ or Messiah or words that mean that were written 514 times. You see the emphasis that God places upon this thought. Thou art the Christ. He's the anointed one. He was saying you are anointed by the Father. You know that anointing is a great thing with God. If you go back to the Old Testament, kings were anointed. Remember, Samuel brought a ram's horn and tipped it over the head of David, and he was anointed king over Israel. Priests were anointed. Aaron the high priest was anointed with special ointment. Kings and priests and prophets are anointed by God. And so there's this anointing. And God is very careful with this anointing. If a man is anointed, we're told carefully in the scriptures, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. You remember how Saul was kept trying to kill David? And David could have killed him. And David said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will not touch him. And the day came that a young man came and told lies to David. He said, I killed Saul. And David said, how dare you touch the Lord's anointed? He said to a young man standing there, kill him. And he did. Don't touch the Lord's anointed. Now Jesus was anointed. And not only was he anointed, but he was anointed publicly, if you like. Because remember in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where it says that he went into the synagogue as his custom was, and they gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah to read. And he read the scriptures that we now have in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then he stopped, because the next words are, and proclaim judgment. That he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that has not been taken away yet by the Lord. He was anointed, and he shut the book and sat down. And he said to those who were in the synagogue, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He was anointed by the Father. He was anointed to be the Savior, anointed to be the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you stop and think about it, the Lord talked about this quite a lot, and it amazes me. Remember I said earlier, don't be despising small things. Just look at the way that God did things. I was reading today about Martha. Martha the busy one, remember? She's always bustling around the house. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus even said, Mary has chosen the better part. But now, Lazarus, the brother, is in the grave. And Martha, not Mary, Martha, the busy one, she comes to the Lord. And as you listen to these words that she spoke that day, marvel at the godliness of the busy woman. Marvel at the sanctity of her heart. Marvel at the fact that she had really got hold of the things of God. Because Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said to her, do you believe it? And she said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. Isn't that wonderful? She knew. Peter knew. Simeon, he knew. When he had the child Jesus in the temple, remember, they brought him to make an offering as pertains to the law. And he had been told by the Holy Ghost, had Simeon, you will not see death until you have seen the Lord's Christ. And when he saw this baby, he said, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have given for all people. So you see, God was working in the concept of knowing who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know he's the Christ? Or is he just a name in the Bible, as he is to so many? Saul of Tarsus, I was reminded of him. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, was killing Christians because they believed that Jesus Christ was God. He was killing them. Now, God meets with him on the Damascus Road. God meets with him. And this is what happened. Paul said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. I am Jesus. What happened? You know what happened. He went blind. They took him to a house. Then God sent a servant of God to pray for him. He got his sight back. And I want to read to you from Acts chapter 9, verse 20. As soon as he got out of this house, this is what Paul did. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Straight away. Now I want to ask you a question. When did Paul study for this message? When? No, he didn't have any. He couldn't. So on what grounds was he saying that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God? On what grounds was this man saying it? On the grounds that he had met the Christ and he knew he was the Son of God. Excuse me for putting in a personal word, but I remember when I got saved. I was thinking about this last night. I remember when I got saved, I knew absolutely nothing about God or his Bible or his Son or anybody. I never went to church. I was a complete and absolute heathen. And then I got saved. And you know what? I knew in my heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I knew it. Inside me. So you see, I had the inner voice. Then I began to read the scriptures, and I would read the Word of God, and I would constantly be reading things I already knew. Because the Holy Ghost had revealed Jesus to me. And I couldn't talk about him like Paul could. But I'm telling you, I knew him too. And anybody that knows Jesus will know him. You will know him. And if you don't know him, turn to him with all your heart. Cry out to God. Cry out to God for spiritual reality and help. The Lord is nigh unto all those who call upon Him. In the 14th of John, remember that Philip was talking to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And Philip, oh, he's so human. He's been with the Lord so long, and yet he's so much like us. He said to him, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. I beg your pardon, it was Thomas that said, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. And Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And that's, here's Philip. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. May God give us people who are satisfied with what the Lord gives them and won't keep on looking for something else. Exactly what, you know what this man was just like the Jews. Lord, you do a miracle. This is the word of Satan, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? You command these stones to be made bread, and I'll believe you're the Son of God. Jesus made the stones. Jesus made the mountain they stood upon. Jesus made the air he was breathing. Make these stones bread. What rubbish. We've got the same word again, haven't we? This poor man is saying, Lord, you show us the Father. You show us the Father. That will satisfy us. A heart like that can never be satisfied, I warn you. I warn you. And we have taught the people in this Christian generation to keep on looking for something else. Doesn't Jesus satisfy you? Is your life full of Him? I'm not saying you won't bring other things into your life. I'm not saying that at all, but what I am saying is that God will not give you what He wants you to have until you have taken what He's already given you into your heart and into your life, and it's a part of you. Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I hear the pathos in the Lord's voice, you know. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. And I'll leave it there, except to say this. This is one of the problems that I have as a preacher. Because I really want to get deep things across to you. The church needs teaching. We need to understand things. We need to know the truth. We need to get a handle on it, a grasp on it. It needs to become a part of the leather in our shoes. It needs to become the warp and woof of our heart. But how do you do it? This is my problem. Because what we talk about is so profound. How do you speak of profound things in utter simplicity? That's one point. Here's another point. Many of God's people are running around too much to be able to sit down and listen to the Word of God. Some people tell me that my sermons are boring. And you know what? I used to take it personally. I really did. I would be upset. I would be hurt in my heart, and I would take it, but now I don't. You know why? Because the Lord showed me something. A person who am I speaking in the Spirit? If I'm not, be bored. Pray for the poor preacher. But if the Holy Ghost is here, you better listen. One day, you will hear nothing. You better listen. Young people say, oh, you know what? People will go from this service and they will say the sermon's too long, and then they'll go home and watch a movie for 2 hours. You hypocrite! You carnal Christian! What's the matter with you? Can't you see the shallowness of your life. You should repent and get right with God. You don't have to get right with me because you haven't offended me. I believe the Lord is grieved with this sort of thing. Sometimes I do preach too long. Sometimes I start a sermon in the spirit and I end it in the flesh. I know that. And I try not to do it. But here we are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we talked about who God is, who Jesus is, we would have to say they are of the same essence. We would have to say that they are two separate persons, but they are one. We would have to say the Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son, and the Holy Ghost is not the Father. We would have to say these things, but we need to be able to explain them from the Word of God. They're very deep things. They're very deep. And it was a big thing that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's a huge thing. But this is the way it is in the Word of God. We live in the midst of deep revelation from God. He's the unique and only Savior. When they say, you're the Son of the living God, as Tony was talking from Psalm 115, wasn't it? About the idols. About the idols that can't see or speak or touch or know or love or feel. Well, this is why he keeps calling himself the living God. Because people are worshipping the dead God. The dead God. He's the living God. The true and living God. Jesus said in John 17, he said, Father, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so he's the Christ. He's the Christ. And when we say that, we embrace all that God is. We embrace all of our salvation. We embrace the full revelation of God. We embrace everything connected with heaven. We don't understand it. It'll take us years to work it out. But it includes an everlasting kingdom, a priesthood that will never end. It includes forgiveness of sins, and not just forgiveness of sins, we being made righteous in Him. Let me pause here and say something in brackets. Too many of God's people are looking for forgiveness of sins, but they're not looking for a righteous life. You need His righteousness. And His righteousness will not be apparent in you if you're in the place of darkness. And if your tongue is evil, it's because your heart is evil. And having received us, this is what it means that Christ, having received us to Himself, in Ephesians chapter 1, we are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ. And haven't got time to tell you what that means. We are loved. Listen, we are protected. We are kept. And one day God will take us to His heaven. All because of what that man did on the cross. This Christ had to be a redeemer sent from heaven. He had to be a man. He had to be unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That he had to do, and he did it. This is why the Jews rejected him. First of all, they realized it needed to be a man, but they couldn't handle a man who was God, because he didn't fit in with them, and he didn't fit in with their laws and all their understanding. Peter did not understand everything he said that day, but he knew this, that this Christ came from the living God. The living God. I found a verse where Nathanael spoke in John chapter 2. Incredibly, he said to Jesus, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you, because these people, God was bringing his message. He was telling people. The whole truth was out there. Is he able to tell you? Can God tell you what the message is? Can God share his Christ with you? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you. I notice that Peter was in touch with heaven. What kind of a God we have? Isn't he amazing? God, you know, they heard his voice. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus is standing there talking to these disciples. He had said to them, did he not say to them, will you also go away? Because 70 left him. And Peter said, "Who to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." This was a little bit later. And he said, "Thou art the Christ." Now he's saying it here for the first time. And he's seriously pointing something wonderful out. The Father is speaking by this man. Stop and think about that, ladies and gentlemen. That the great God of heaven would speak by us. Isn't that extraordinary? Doesn't it make you put your head down and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord"? What else can we say? That if God would speak like that, and we have the word of Peter, we have the word of the Lord Jesus. I was reminded of David, my old friend. And just before he died, he said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." 2 Samuel 23:2. "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." They had seen something wonderful when they saw Jesus, and they didn't understand him. Remember that, for 18 months they didn't understand him. They couldn't understand what was going on. And just to wrap this up, as they say, from that, then after he had told them this, he charged his disciples. And in the Greek language, it's very, very, very strong words. He exhorted them. He told them, "I don't want you to tell anybody that I am Jesus the Christ. Don't you tell anybody." Why wouldn't he want them to know? Well, for several reasons, but here's one. They were not ready to receive it. You won't hear from God until you're ready. They weren't ready to receive it. Don't complain that God's not talking to you. He's talking. You're not ready. You've got to get ready. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and be killed. From that time, now you understand that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to tell you why I'm here. I must go to Jerusalem. I can feel the absolute pathos in the words of Jesus and the pain. I can feel it because he says, "I must go. I have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes." He didn't hide anything and be killed. He spoke of his death, but he spoke of his resurrection too, and be raised again the third day. Let me tell you, even when he is being beaten by soldiers, Jesus is in control. He's telling them exactly what's going to happen. He's able to carefully show the future. He's got it for you too. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Well, we know. And he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me. For you say, but not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Be warned about that. You say, well, how could I do that? Well, I'll tell you one way you can do it. You can stop Jesus by your life and your attitude and your words. You can stop Jesus from being who he wants to be to other people. But you're doing the work of the devil. Because you're hiding him. You're hiding it. You're not letting people see the truth. You don't want to enter in yourself because it's not convenient. But you won't help other people to enter in. You won't. So many people today are doing what they want. Now I want to say to you at the end of this message in the 21st century, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is still saying to his disciples, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? We're not going to ask anybody to stand up in the meeting and speak. We are going to ask all of us to live an answer. Live an answer this week. Live an answer tonight and tomorrow. Live the answer as to who Christ is. Is he the Christ, the Son of the living God? If he is, we're going to show it. People are going to see it. This message, simple as it is a great truth. It's a really great truth. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he wants people to know this because the time has come. He's not trying to hide anything. Put your mind, go right back. Go right back to what I said at the beginning when I talked about the church going after the lost. When I talked about us winning souls to Christ, is that our program? Is that what we want to do? Is that what is in our hearts? It's on his heart. It's on his heart. It's all he ever wanted. He just wanted to show his love at the cross. And he just wanted to rise again from the dead. And he just wanted to empower his own people to go everywhere. Read the book of Acts. And they went everywhere and they preached Jesus. They preached Jesus everywhere they went. Often, when they preached Jesus, the Holy Ghost was pleased to come down upon the people. That's what God does. That's what God does. The Spirit of God always follows the ministry or precedes the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it grieves the Holy Spirit when Jesus is left out. It is a grief to his heart. Is he the Christ to you? Is he the Christ to me? Who do I say the Son of Man is? The answer is in my life. The answer is in my words, is it not? The answer is in my heart. And may God bless you too in this matter. Amen.